God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God has commissioned his servant, Reverend Toluwalugo Agboola, with the mandate of true worship, teaching the church the patterns of true worship. Be blessed as you listen.
Tomorrow night, we are going to go straight by 5 o'clock into our special communion service. There's a quality of communion material that we need that we have not been able to get. And I had to ask the Lord, should we use what is available? So he opened up my mind to know, it's possible there, it's possible there. So we want to get the best so that we give substance to our meeting. But if it doesn't happen, we'll have that tomorrow. So the flyer will be up maybe tonight. Yes, it's a special communion service. It's a communion for preservation. That's what the Lord called. It's a communion service for preservation. The strength of Egypt broke on the night of the Passover. It was an administration of life to everyone that was in Goshen. It was an administration to death upon every house that the blood did not appear. And I believe that what we'll be doing here, that's why it's special. What we'll be doing here tomorrow night will not just be for us in this building. It will not just be for a city. It will be for a nation. I know somebody is saying, how can we do communion here? Because Reverend, I read of a missionary who was being driven out of a nation, a couple. Military men were with them because they went there to preach the gospel. It was a country that was anti the gospel. And it was be driven out or be killed. So they took the option to leave. While they were dragging them to move them out, the wife pulled out a tract out of her pocket and ran back to soft sand, used a stick to dig the ground and bury the tract. Somebody say tract. Jesus loves you. Give your life to Christ. John 3:16. That was what was on the tract. She buried it. What are you doing? What are you doing? The tract that I will. Well, many years later, they found out that on the ground where the tract was is a seminary. That nation broke, and the tract dragged not a church, but a pastor's training college. That's what we call prophetic action. So what we want to do tomorrow is not just a regular communion service. It's a prophetic communion service. That's why it's special. It's a communion service on behalf of the nation that the end of the strength of the enemy will break. Israel didn't sneak out of Egypt. It was Egypt that drove them out. This last plague has overwhelmed us. Everybody who was Egyptian cried. Even livestock lost firstborn. So if you had goat with three children, the first child of the goat was also wasted. Amen. So, we began a subject yesterday. What did I call it? Can I have my slide? Do you have it? You don't have it. Oba. It's not on the group. What was the subject of my discussion yesterday? Please look for that thing and upload it. What did I call it again? I don't like the way you are talking. How many of you have tried to listen to that sermon again between yesterday and today? Maybe we should just pray and go home. Abi? So maybe we should just pray and go home. Since nobody in this building values that label. So, maybe we should just... How many of you have listened to Sunday sermon again? Okay, that's one. Any other person? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So what am I doing? People like praying, Abby. Let's pray. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. So, maybe we should go home and just pray. I love praying. It's a hobby. and if you heard my story, I didn't learn prayer because of needs. I started active praying at age 5. I learned prayers because of survival. I still pray to survive now. I teach in prayer gatherings because there's a lot of prayer education that is missing. You find out that anytime I'm around, I seemingly minister in every session. The reason is because I want to bring education. We have not been taught intercession. We have not been taught intercession. When that thing that is happening in the home, that trend that you see, cannot be wished away. I know you are saved. But if you attempt to say, okay, in Jesus' name, let marriages become early. You will find out that if you are not careful, you marry late. And it is not to belittle what happened on the cross. It's that undoing those things are legal. Someone called me this afternoon. He said, sir, God sent us to a town. We've been praying for 1 hour every day for 9 months. He said, but the town is still hard. I said, ministry is easier when someone has broken through the town. If you want to plant, there are still trees on the field. Is Mr. Taiwo around? No. I hear it's Baksha. What of Maiwa? It's not around too. Who else is a farmer here? I don't mean people learning farming in school. Those ones are not farmers. They are just people like Fane. It's Jack. They don't wear those kind of green jackets to farm. His singlet he used to wear. So who is a farmer here? Godwin, it's good to see you. Stand. I want to see the face of the farmer. Stand now. It's best standing. Oh, you are a farmer. Tractor farming. Hoe and cutlass. The Lord bless you. And your farms are blessed. When you are given new ground, the first thing is not planting. What do? You clear. And clearing is a laboring thing. So I told the young man, the darkness in your city, you don't know how long it has been there. It may have been there so much that it now has legitimacy. And then you came to undo it. They will scan your intentions. Because you can be laboring against darkness as a showman to make everybody feel that you are different from them. If your intentions are not right, you know me. So sometimes it's not that darkness is strong. It's that your posture of laboring is wrong. Why did I come the way I started this evening? My wife knows I didn't commit any sin. I did not sleep with anybody. I did not commit abortion before I came. I did not. Did I steal anything? Okay. Where's blessing? You were in our house. Did I steal anything? Did I beat my wife? I do many of these things as patterns. The average intercessor is presumptuous. He just walks into the presence of God and he begins to attack things that have a legal ground for oppression, even though he does not have a legitimate ground. Because he's trying to appeal to powers that he does not look like by nature. You know, if we do Sunday morning prayers for the nation, even the person who came from sleeping with somebody in the night will join us in that prayer. He too will ask God that evil in our land should go away. He may die during that prayer. Priesthood is not cheap. That's why when I see everywhere priesthood. What we do so much in Nigeria amongst young ministers in the name of priesthood is that we pray. Check Aaron. How did his journey into priesthood begin? A choice, a washing, a garment before activity. But we kick every priesthood meeting is a 10 hours priesthood engagement. God is merciful. And anyway, it also depends on where you are laboring. If you go to Odwaba, you may be sick. Well, I will attempt again tonight so that nobody's blood will be on my neck. I want you to be diligent. I want you to be diligent. The cost of some of the things I'm teaching is not study. The cost of them is pain. There are many things that I try to do because of the burdens of God on my shoulders in territories that I suffered for. And so suffering took me into study. And I don't want another person to fall by that same sword. That's why I'm teaching these things. Many of them, I learned them in tears. During the last 200 hours, I shared that on the night 17, I think today is night 17. Is today 17th or 16th day? 17th. On the night of the 17th, around 11:05, I was on that our dining table. I was trying to write my notes because I will give the charge in the morning. I dropped my pen to do something. When I attempted it back, I saw that my hands were limp. I tried to move off the table. I saw that my leg was no longer receiving instruction from my head. So I was full right side paralyzed. My lips were numb and started gaining a bend. I couldn't feel my ears even if I touched it. And I was the only one in the house. I was not married. I looked around. How? Will it end like this? I'm not asking to be rich. I'm asking that God will visit a town and that the original ordination of that town will be restored. That's the aim of Obama's office. Abby, Isaac, you have listened to all of them. Almost everything. Because you have the recordings. Almost everything. What will I do? I knew if I announced that thing the following morning, nobody will come here again. So I saw that. I used to come with a mantle like a muffler. I used to hold it when I'm praying. I passed it on as inheritance now. It's my son's first item of inheritance. So he will speak in tongues early. I know. And it was hanging by my door. This same house. So I landed on the ground and I dragged with one hand and one leg to the door. Used one hand and my teeth to tie that muffler on my leg. Placed the limp hand on it and I began to pray. I couldn't even pray out because half of my tongue was dead. It was in tongues. Based on the clock that I saw, it took me about 2 hours, 45 minutes. And then life for my leg, my hands. And then I recovered. When I fully recovered, my first reaction was laughter. I laughed. And I didn't go to bed. And I didn't go to pray. I went back to my table. I continued writing. And I showed up the following day to pray. And I didn't announce it. In the afternoon, I now sent to my spiritual father. Say, Papa, this. He said, now you have entered the pool. But give me 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, he didn't call back. He sent me a very short line. You are covered. It was with those utterances that I finished the 200 hours. You are covered. You don't need to be paralyzed before you learn why there's a possibility to be paralyzed. Because I'm about to show you how that God can send you on an assignment and you can be subverted. Nobody teaches that. If God sends you, you are secured. No, you can be subverted. Check your soil about. It's possible. So let's check scriptures. So I'm doing part two of the sermon that I began yesterday. Have you found my slide? Please be seated, my beloved farmers. They are still looking for it. So you have seen it there. Please look for the part one. It will bless your life. There were other things I said this morning that we could not capture. please lend them. Many of you are going to be isolated, and God will be sending you as a mistress to raise other people in the education that you have. I've shared with you, I saw Emmanuel in Kano. And when Emmanuel came to see me, he came with other people. Brother, maybe one or two brothers, one brother, including Sam. And then, some sisters I never met before. What he did was, he released that essence there. They formed another prayer group, and they began to pray. All across the nation, we have our people go out there, and then they put the burdens, the things they have learned on other people, and intercessory motions begin. I've shared about my young friends who called from Zamfara. So there's no church here. About 4 years ago, 3 years ago, there's no church here. I said, keep praying. By the time they finished praying, no church had come. I said, ask that God will send laborers. The next set of coppers that came had the same body. I don't know if there's a church now, but at least I know two copper sets that sustained prayer for a 2 year period. There was no redemption yet, but seeds have been sown. The things I'm saying, those who want to go to Australia, those who are planning Canada, those who are planning Greece and Spain, you will find out that it is better, Nigeria is better spiritually than those countries. Many of those cities have lost their heritage in God. Their churches have become movie centers. They have become museums. So the man who is hosting God in isolation stands the chance that after like 6-7 months, you are dead. If you don't know how to fight, John, if you go to some countries in Europe and you pray for 1 month, every day for 2 hours, spirits will come through your wall. You know why? They feel maybe you are the one that God sent. And it's just normal life. If you don't miss morning devotion, you wake up at 5 a.m. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. And you sing till 5:30. You now pray 6:30 to 7. If you do it consistently, they'll visit you. You can become sick. You have not prayed for the territory, but they are suspecting that the last men that came, they used to be constant praying men. We had Bidemi's wedding on Saturday Abbey. I know what UK look like for Bidemi. Bidemi will call in the middle of the night and say, Daddy, my head. He's not praying for the territory, he's just praying to survive. But he has been seen to be, this guy is suspect. He wants to bring another civilization. Learn all that you can learn now. You may know many of the things that we teach. We don't teach them in regular church because nobody wants to listen to them. People think in Nigeria now it is legit to be afraid. To walk in faith means that you are crazy. So please, the little we know is what we are sharing. And I'm a very open minister. I want you to know the things that I know. I'm not better than you. I'm just privileged to have cried some tears that you must not cry. May God help you. I have answered questions from outside of Bomosho today based on yesterday's sermon. It means they didn't join the service. They listened to the sermon. They have questions. And I've answered them. So, let me take my entrance scripture. And it is from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 19 to 25. But my focus is 19 to 22. It's a long read, but you'll permit me. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Verse 22. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey and none delivereth. For a spoil and none saith restore. Can we do 23 to 25 now? Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law. Last verse. Therefore, he had poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of the battle, and it had set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. This verse was a discourse that the prophet Isaiah sustained in the day of Israel's oppression, a day like unto the day that we are in Nigeria. If you are in Nigeria, even if you are a Christian, you pray in the morning, you pray in the night, you fast sometimes, which are things that everybody does. But when I mean a Christian, you follow Jesus, you love him, you try to obey him. Because you are in Nigeria, there are still some things that will happen around you that you may be caught in. I don't mean being kidnapped, I don't mean being robbed, but I just mean that there are still general effects that the average Nigerian will have that you also experience. Effects that will not have been there if you were in another nation. But the Bible begins with a very strong observation. The prophet was given the privilege to look keenly at those who had been established as the servants of God. Now, in serving God, I understand that there are people who think that they are serving God. And there are people who, I call them chartered servants. It means they have been certified by God to serve him. And this narrative was of those chartered servants. So they are not church workers, they are kingdom workers. God recognizes them, they are on his work list. So he gives them work schedules in timely fashion, and they are also on his payroll. Everybody who is on God's work list is on his payroll. I was speaking with my brother, Reverend Shino, yesterday, and one of the things I said to him was, there is a due season for everyone who serves Jesus. What the enemy wants us to do is to think that, to be offended in God. And if a man does not understand the concept of due seasons, he will compromise cheaply. He will compromise cheaply because we think that God is unjust. Everyone on God's payroll receives timely work schedules. How many of you understand? Okay, if you work in Innovate Lab, you should understand what the work schedule is. Am I right? Who are the Innovate people now? There's no Innovate person here. Do you guys use work schedules? Something like that. You come in, maybe on Monday. That's how I used to run when I was working in Ibadan as a project manager. Everybody in that company has a work schedule. You come in on Monday and the first mail you get from me is a work schedule. This is what you do for the whole week. So you don't close on Friday without giving me a report of what you have done. I tried it for our leaders when we first started. People cracked. So I said, okay, Mona, just deal like that. When we enter the ark, you will see me as an administrator. I don't need to talk to you. Ah, sir, but send me a mail. So that you will not say, you did not tell me, you know, you can say, honestly, you just felt that you told me. And my work schedule is so designed that when I'm sending you, that this week your job is to buy a speaker. That mail doesn't go to you alone. It goes to the person also who installed it. It goes to the person also who will release money. So it's chain directed. If it does not include money, then that person in the monetary office will not get that mail. That's the way it's divided. So in case you forget to go and buy the speaker, the person is going to install it, will send you a mail and copy me. I've not seen the speaker. There's nothing to install because nobody will go home on Friday if I don't get a work report. So some will go, and me, I will leave because I live in Obomoso. I'm coming to preach. So I will leave Ibadan, but I will leave people in the office. The last mail I must get on Friday is your report for the week. So you will match your work schedule with your report. I am saying that everybody that has been certified as a servant of God has a work schedule that is time-based. This August is not only a month of goodness. There is work captured in August. And one of the things that you are supposed to labor into, knowing that a servant is a man who serves. Hello? If you have stopped serving, you are no longer a servant. Abi? A waiter is somebody who waits. A praying man is somebody who prays. Actually, somebody who prays is a prayer too. Abi? So, if you stop praying, you are no longer a praying man. Somebody says prayer warrior. It's good. Pray anything, or giant, or general. Just pray. A territorial commander is somebody who commands the territory. It's not somebody who wears t-shirt, territorial commander. Are you with me? The day you stop commanding territories, you are stripped. And the day God stops assigning territories to command to you, understand that you have left his sheet. And if you have left his worksheet, you have left his payroll. May God give you understanding. Some of us need to go to God and beg him, send me. Because if he doesn't give you assignments, he will not pay you. He observed that these servants of God, chartered servants, that they are blind men in the territory. But nobody is as blind as these chartered servants. Give me back by verse 19. Who is blind but my servant? It means it's as though every other person can see. My servant is blind. Or deaf as the messenger that I want to send. Messenger that is already on God's errand but is handicapped. Who is blind as he that is perfect? You can't fault him, but he still cannot observe. And blind as the Lord's servant, verse 20, seeing many things. This blind servant can see his wife, can see his husband. If he says, serve rice for me in a latter, and you are serving beans, he can stop you and say, I said rice. But there are things that are happening that he cannot observe. I really don't want to use the sense of this construct, but I want to make you understand that God has summoned us to come to prayer. There is the possibility of carrying out a divine assignment blindly and in deaf motion. The assignment is still running because God has sent you. You are delivering the assignment, but you are blind and you are deaf because there are so many things that are being revealed, but you are not observing. Ears are open. You are hearing so much, but you are not hearing at all. Follow me. The possibility of subversion by the enemy can be captured within the reality of a man who has responded to the summons of God. The word subversion means that the enemy comes and he takes away substance, or he stands in the way of effectual labor. He tampers not with activity, he tampers with effectiveness. That possibility is captured within the reality of the man that has said yes to Jesus. The fact that you responded to the summons does not mean that you'll be effective. The enemy can steal. And this possibility is gifted an entrance through the absence of spiritual intelligence. And that's what the prophet was talking about here. That there are many sights, but the ability to see or to carefully observe, observation has to do with drawing an inference from what is seen. I'll share with my wife this morning something that happened to me. We have a dump ground in front of our house, and well, surprisingly, nobody burns it except maybe this boy, my boy. I think Oriomi has helped out, but I've closed my mind. That is my job. It's everybody's dump ground. Now that's our big compound, but I think that is my job. So nobody goes there. It's only me. So, but it rained yesterday, and the place was littered, so we had to burn it. And so I looked for a stick and started pulling those things in, pushed the dump ground back. Now, how do you burn a dump ground that is wet? What can you do? Wait till it's dry. That's one thing. So I quickly put my scientific knowledge in place that you can burn. You don't have to wait. I don't have all the time. You don't want to be 100 years before you solve the Nigerian problem on your knees. Plenty of things will have spoiled. It means that you need to introduce a substance that can change the dynamics of burning. Because the current expression of the state now is that if it is wet, you cannot light it. But if you introduce petrol, which was the substance I did, petrol has no respect for dryness or wetness. It will stay on top of the water and burn. And until it finishes burning, it will continue to burn. So when I introduced that substance, the Lord told me, son, I answer prayers. But if you have been praying about this Nigerian monster for long, and there are no answers, could it be that you are trying to strike a match on a wet dump site? What else do you think you need to introduce? Is there any spiritual intel that you have that can change the narrative here? So I started thinking. That was how I prepared my sermon. So if you check my notes, the first thing I wrote there was my dump ground expression. The answers we seek are in little things. And little things. Do you cook rice? You can cook rice very well. No matter how hungry you are, if you put rice on fire now, can you eat it now? You will still wait. But the person who comes in and needs an intervention wants it now. He doesn't know that there's a time factor. So when he prays once and he doesn't see results, say the heart may have still passed. I still pass. He says, God will not answer John. When you wash cloth, say, Timmy now, maybe he wants to go for a gig tomorrow. And then he washes these jeans at 7 a.m. And the program is 9 a.m. You can wear it. No, you can't. Some people wear clothes like that. Well, I learned in secondary school that if you wear clothes, they dry faster on your body, down the rope. You say, iron it. I fear you. But that wearing thing is a natural thing. After a while, maybe because all the parts are exposed, it will dry faster. So, you are not in a bad place. That's new knowledge for some of you. People who didn't go to body house to understand all those dynamics. They don't understand those dynamics. But I'm saying that even in that thing, a body makes you observe and not just see. A body. When you are looking for an answer, that answer makes everything that you view tend towards solving the problem that you have. So you feel unsafe all of a sudden. And you watch an event. The mother hen is trying to cross the road. And she shouts, coo, 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 coo. All the children come. They gather around it. But there's one that is trying to pick a grain of rice. And the vehicle comes, crushes it. You don't think that it's a good place to learn. That if you don't heed the call of the one who captains you, you are a victim in the making. When God has exhausted teaching him, has become exasperated, trying to teach a man scriptures, he takes his teaching into nature. Unfortunately, many people still don't see. The Nigerian problem, as we begin to pray, requires that we observe. Why are we here? Is the first question. As a minister, I do that. I carried out a test this evening. And I've, because my wife is there. Okay, Motu, where's Motu? She's outside too. Okay. I had a burden I was bringing this afternoon. And I'll share the burden. Naha. It looks as if everybody, most people can pray long in AWCN. But I have a fear. If I have to maybe be away or something for a long time, how many people, if we circle teaching with the way we are exchanging prayer like this, some of you will stop coming. Yes or no? No, be sincere. Say no. When Rev is around, no, say stop coming. Or maybe when, maybe pastor, one or two people are around. It means that we don't have as many people as can teach and we have as can pray. It may be a picture into an underlying problem, because those who pray well know scriptures. Are you with me? Could it be that people just have mastered how to pray in tongues and they don't even have the understanding that powers prayer? It could be a problem. The new apostolic ministries, all of them have this problem. See, God has sent you to start an apostolic ministry. Paying attention. This, what I'm telling you now, is my observation from ministries. Many people have raised praying men, but they are scarce. There's a scarcity of a teaching company. Those who have managed it, they have preachers. Preachers are announcers. God is good. He's coming for you. It's going to be a good day. This year is blessed. Because they cannot break into bringing people to understanding, like the men of Ezra. And it's no longer a good thing if we go that way, because we can go from prayers into error, because the word of God gives a border for what is obtainable in the kingdom of God. So when school resumes, I want to slow down. And what I'll be doing is, any day I don't travel, I'll have a class. Any day I don't travel, my wife will permit me. Any day I don't travel in the evening, I'll have a class. My classes will not be regular like this. They'll be interactive. Any day I don't travel, I'll teach. So that more people can come into knowledge. We can ask questions. And then many other times I will sit down and have people do what they have. Let's hear you. Because we have to catch up. Many headmen, not headsmen, many headmen, you call them set men, you call them point men, you call them pastors, in teaching the word, they are so far away from their congregations. That's why churches generally don't last in Africa. When the visionary dies, the church many times dies in natural death, because there are not too many people who can teach. How did I come into that? By observing. So we must raise a counter measure to mitigate it. If you have been praying for your family for 3 years and there's no change, you should pause and then change the state of the prayer. What you started praying was, visit our family, visit our family, visit our family, now, visit our family. You have said now for 3 years. You should begin to ask God, what is wrong with our family? He must enter into inquiry. Why does it look like the enemy, contrary to my prayers, is having a field day? And it's that point that I've gotten to, and that's what is informing the teaching, this teaching. What are we, is this possible that we are laboring as fools? And that wickedness and the wicked is thriving in our nation? Is there something we need to know? Is there something that gives an advantage to wickedness? Is there something that gives an advantage to wicked men? Is there something that the church, the company of God's certified servants, are not doing rightly? We have gotten the activity. Yes. Do you play table tennis? Table tennis is cheap. How do they play it? Bounce the ball. Chef is just be hitting it. The reason why some people make money from table tennis, you know, there are international table tennis clubs. Like you have Chelsea and Arsenal. And you play at your level. You earn nothing. You even pay to play. Abi? At the time it was 50 kobo for 2 cents. That's how we used to go and play. Once they beat you 2 cents, you have to pay 50 kobo again. But some people are paid to play. It's because they know it's just, but they have learned more. So let's look at some possibilities that may have gifted wickedness a ground in our nation, and some ways that God may begin to inform us as we pray to undo them. That's why we've gathered. I'll try to labor a little bit more in teaching, then we're going to take our time to pray. Okay. So I said, as we pray, we must be keen both to behold and hear. Along those three lines that we spoke about yesterday, to behold, that see and hear, that which is written, that which is shown, and that which is said or uttered or have been said. We must observe them critically. Wickedness and the wicked in our nation have not found sustenance. This is my feedback. Without the alignment of certain structures. So the wicked have aligned with certain structures of performance that have sustained their wicked acts. And in aligning with those structures of performance, they have activated certain protocols that they have adhered to. If you wake up every morning and you plug your kettle, there will always be boiling water on your table. One of the things I need to do to make sure that there's no hot water in that house is to steal the kettle. Are you with me? Because if I steal the kettle, the circuitry that makes boiled water possible will have been breached. Is somebody getting my point? And once the circuitry is breached, it means that we cannot get to the end again. In chemical engineering reactions, there are certain substances that you can introduce into a reaction pathway that will block off the reaction. Especially when the reaction is supposed to be a chain reaction. So we are taught to know where the key junctions are. And what you do at the key junctions is to affect the rate of the reaction. You add what you call, in simple terms, you call them a catalyst. The assignment of the catalyst is either to increase or inhibit. Are you with me? So, what we are saying is, if we know where the junctions are, in the oppressions of the enemy that has kept them wicked, we can tamper with the process line. If you want to eat eba, what's the startup? Put water in pot, yes. Light, whatever, wind stove, wood, firewood, charcoal, just light heat source. Put water on fire, but you may still not have eba. If I carry your bowl of curry, that water will boil till everything is dry. Not so. And then if you are using that thing we used to call heating element, you have used it before. It's real metal. They plug it. You will have lost the underneath of your pot because it will melt. You just have side of pot. I boiled beans and that's what I harvested. All the underneath of the pot had disappeared. So when we pulled the pot up, it was just the side of the pot and the handle that was remaining. In youth service, I was in prayers. It was my neighbors who shouted, "Ha! Ha! Ha! So they just carried my heating element and everything and threw it outside. It was a blessing. Because that was the last time I cooked. One of my friends came and said, "God has sent me to be cooking of." And I started eating like a god. Because it was 9:05 we were collecting. This my precious friend Funke. May God bless her where she is. She's married to a pastor now and they are doing fine. She was working in a bank. She was earning 45,000. So from that day, my 9:05 never went on food again. My assignment was every time she gets the 45,000, she takes tithe out and gives me 30,000 out of that 45,000 to buy food for two people. So when she's going to work around 7, if I say, "I don't think I need breakfast today," she will drop it at my door. And we're not in a relationship. And we're not planning a relationship. May God send you sincere people. You see, if you love God, if you love God, He will take care of you. And by the strangest means. I mean by the strangest means. There was nothing beyond a filial love between us. Nothing beyond that. For 1 year. She cook. She was in our executive. She was our FinSec. There was a day she misbehaved the next court meeting. And I stood her up, chided her. You misbehaved. When I got to my room that night, what was in my heart was, "God, you will be hungry today." But lie. We finished that school meeting at 10. That night, I still had pounded yam. She went all the way to pound the yam to show that I honor you. May God put people like that in your life. I know that's what you say. May you be that kind of person too. Everybody wants people to be good to them, but they don't want to be good to anybody. The only time that lady hugged me was the day we finished youth service. She looked at me and said, my brother. And that was all. We left. Nothing else. Her fiance fought her like, "See, how can you be cooking?" Say, "This is what God has sent me to do." And I was in a relationship to that. Their own worked out, my own crashed. But I think your husband is one of the Dream Center pastors in Akure now. He's a lecturer in Futa. And they are doing well. I think she lectures in Futa too. She had a first class in computer science. So she was my cook for 1 year. So, I said wickedness and wicked in our nation have not found substance without alignment with certain structures using certain protocols in sustained fashion. I found 3 kinds of structures that have given room to wickedness in our nation. One is spiritual. And I decided to put it in that way so that in prayers we will deal with them individually. One is spiritual structures. I will do a lot of work around there so that we can pray and continue to pray. But there are also natural structures and there are human structures. When I came this morning, I was speaking of natural structures. How that in the day that earth functioned by its manual, it was actually after the fall. But those who functioned immediately after the fall had not totally lost consciousness of the manual. Time aggravates depravity. For example, in your house, if they say everybody should come back home at 6 p.m., there are still homes like that, even if you are a university graduate. The head of the house says, if you are still living under my roof, by 6 o'clock you must be in. When that law is no longer said, those who heard it will still be obeying it. Those who did not hear it, who came into that house after nobody said it for 5 years, will be coming 6 a.m. the following morning. So every time there is a departure from the manual of existence, time aggravates depravity. So you find out that even though Adam operated in the fall, when he killed his brother, earth still had a manual. And how earth expressed was that earth observed the killing. It was only earth, Cain, and Abel that were in the field. Are you with me? The people at home must have heard stories like the brothers of Joseph. Say a wild animal. And now animals have become wild. Say a wild animal came and killed him. Now Adam knew that there was no possibility that creation could not express. But the earth saw him murder his brother. And when the earth drank the blood, earth quickly reported to a divine court, and this man became court martialed instantly. That was how earth was designed to operate, that every act of wickedness is observed and reported instantly to attract judgment. But the father earth exists away from the manual. Earth, I used a word this morning, I said earth became complicit. In Yoruba, you see, if you steal oil, you know the proverb, on the roof, you will need someone who is an accomplice who helps you drop it. Are you, Abi? Okay, you can carry keg of oil from the roof and come down by with the keg. So, the one who carries it from the roof, who steals it, and the accomplice who receives it, both of them are criminalized. So we say that the accomplice is complicit with that guy. If the guy carries the keg and says, Maiwa, oh yeah, let's help me drop it. And say, drop what? Is he your own? When the guy is tired, what will he do? He will drop the keg and come down. Then he start a fight with you. I'm saying that earth has become complicit. And one of the reasons why earth has become complicit is that human beings have found a way to secure the compliance of the earth, to make it operate contrary to the will of God. That possibility was occasioned by what Paul refers to in Romans chapter 8 as the bondage of corruption. It means that now it is possible for the rest of creation to comply with wickedness. Have you heard of the concept of a witchcraft bird before? When birds were, you see, all those witchcraft birds were not created by Satan. Everything that God created has a spirit space inside it. And it was supposed to host God in a particular form, so that God can be visible in the sounds of a bird. God can be visible in the flight of a bird. There will be something that is teaching you. Even the formations of the clouds. Because the Bible says that the heavens do what? They declare the glory of God. Even the heavens. But when the bondage of corruption came, that space became available to anything that could enter. So you can put the craft of a witch inside the bird, and then that bird becomes a vehicle to traffic evil. I was sharing in it when I was in 10 hours Lagos. I said that me, I know that you can eat vegetable and sleep well. You can also eat vegetable and appear in a meeting. Yes or no? What it means is that the vegetable that you eat under the right kind of priesthood can give two outcomes or more. So when Timmy, do you still remember to pray on your food? When you pray on your food, what do you say? What's the basic prayer on food? Eh? To bless it. Good. What is a blessing? Is it a spiritual substance or a natural one? Anybody? Oh yeah, now. Should we teach? Okay, let me write the topic, the blessing. The blessing is a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual substance that is designed to give expression to the potential in anything. So if you ask God to bless rice, it means that you are asking God to shape that spiritual reality into rice so that rice can maximize its potential inside you. Are you with me? It means that even the rice that you cooked by yourself has a spirit space inside it. If not, the blessing will not work. Are you with me? This cloth, if you host the spirit to a point in your spirit, with your spirit, you overwhelm your soul, it will get to your cloth. You will not need to pray for this cloth to be a mantle. Anybody that touches this cloth will be able to, will come into a reality of the spirit. It means that this your cloth, as light as it is, it has space for a spirit inside it. Many of us on the light side of the spiritual realm don't understand these basic things. Occultic people do. When I was in Olivet Baptist High School in New York, I went to that school for about 3 years. No, 4 years. We had a woman opposite the school, name withheld. She was a specialist in selling fufu. I think she's late now. She doesn't lock the door of her shop, but she had two brooms. Everybody who entered that shop to steal, we sweep till daybreak. It means that broom, as tiny as they are, they have space. And what they did was that a particular priesthood moved spirit. It is the spirit that is making people sweep. Are you with me? If you hang a normal broom, when they finish stealing your fufu, they will break the tip and use it to do their teeth and walk away. The church was awakened to priesthood. When we teach these things, they say, no, you are extracurricular. That's why we're weak. Man was designed to have power over the rest of creation. And with such powers, he could manipulate anything to fulfill his mandate, which is a kingdom mandate. That's the design. So if men know what to do with sand, and you don't know how to undo what they can do with sand, you will be selling rice, two of you, and then they will manipulate the sand at your doorstep. And when you step on it, your leg is swollen, and you can't come to sell rice until your rice, it cooks itself in your shop by heat. If it's yam you are selling, that one is even good. The yam will grow by itself. And it can grow under yam. Like in some hostels now, the yam has grown. Their bed columns have become the, what do they call that thing? The yam, I think they said, is this stake they call it? There's a stick they put so that the yam will come. What? Yam stakes. The bed column will have become a stick for the yam so that it will coil on. It will soon come out at your window. We must observe and ask questions. Why is darkness strong? We have a name that is above all names. But there are things we must understand. And what understanding gives us is the ability to take the battle into the enemy's ground and turn the tide, because we know what vehicles the enemy is using to perpetuate evil, and we can checkmate them. I was saying in the house casually this afternoon that some Mondays ago, about 8 Mondays thereabout, a major thing was going to happen in the nation. If you don't know it, forget it. A major thing was going to happen. And many people felt that the way this thing is going, it will favor the will of the people. This strange man will not win this thing that they are contesting for. That was on Monday night. But on Tuesday morning, the tide sharply changed. Wednesday night delivered. I think it was on a Tuesday night. It was there Monday, Tuesday. It was a Tuesday night thing. And by Wednesday morning, delivered. Shut down every other person. Blasted past them. Won the election. How do you win overnight? Have you checked? Somebody said this afternoon that Obi is not a politician, I believe. He said Obi is now a movement. Even in Lafia, they want to do an Obi march, 1 million men in Lafia. That's in Nasarawa State. It's a wild wind. The man said, I have my preferred candidate, I have a party, but I think not to lose my vote. I may need to vote for the movement. But you know why we're telling the church to pray? That if the church is convinced that that is God's man, you know why they must pray? There are one night specialists in this nation. And there's one man in this nation who has delivered elections the night before, all the time. Everybody travels into Lagos on Friday night, and Saturday night they win the nation. Unfortunately, that man now is standing to be elected. He's a one night specialist. All this noise is all the sick. He doesn't work. He has gained mastery of manipulating the manipulating minds. You will love him on election morning. When you finish voting, you will be wondering why. Those who labor to win in the physical are weak men. A master of spirit dynamics is not ruffled. He knows the outcome of the battle. If you are a UFC fighter, you are fighting Israel Adesanya, you know how it will end. It's always one man who will win. Are you getting me? There are many of the fights that we see in the physical are fixed because one of the contenders already lost in the spirit. And that's why we want to look at this thing. Are we sure that after 2023 elections, life will be better in this nation? Our assurance will be premised on how much we can partner with what is available in the spirit to be able to bring forth conquest. If all we are doing is telling ourselves how we'll go to vote, have you seen the list of voting patterns? INEC has published a list of number of voters across geopolitical zones. Because it's easy now to get that list. Northwest is still the largest. If you combine southeast and south-south, they are not up to northwest. So, if everybody in southeast and south-south votes for one person, if only northwest votes for another person, they will have emptied that whole, those two regions. Because up there, everybody has a PVC. If you can walk, you have PVC. Have you asked the dealer? They say it's not eating well. That's why it's small. But so I saw that what people touch for conquest, what people touch to perpetuate wickedness, are spiritual structures, are natural structures, and human structures. So let's look at the spiritual structures and how men leverage on the spirit dimension to change the outcome of things so that we know how to leverage. I have just two things here for time's sake. And the first under the subject spiritual structures of conquest, I wrote one is the way of priesthood and sacrifice. The way of priesthood and sacrifice. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading because I want us to pray. When I speak of priesthood, I mean servicing altars, sustained servicing of altars. By way of instruction, I will be saying that if we really want to see established the counsel of God, even when we clock 200 hours, some people must not stop praying. You will need to craft your own prayer time as received by the Spirit. It may not be 5 hours per day. It may be 30 minutes. It may be 1 hour. But heaven must not stop hearing your cry. Because there is a partnership that births or that conceives. There is also a partnership that manages what has been conceived. There is also a partnership that births. There is another partnership that establishes. Philip, help me look for that verse of scripture. There was a time when the prophet was prophesying and it was against the counsel of the enemy, and the first thing he said was that it will not be sown. So help me find it. It shall not be sown. And then he understands that even though he said it shall not be sown, it can be sown. So he now says it shall be uprooted. And that the wild wind will blow it away. Help me. But before I went to university, I used to use those verses to do warfare. Anybody? It's one of the prophets. It's one of the prophets. I just want to quickly show you something. Then. Okay, if you can't find it, let me try. Any success, anybody? You can't find it. Isaiah 40:24. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Jibola. Okay, so the word used is planted. Now, it says, yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. It means that some of them escaped into sowing. But he's saying their stock will not remain in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. It means those that manage to grow, he will release a dry wind upon them, and they will wither, and the wild wind shall take them away as stubble. So there is a partnership that ensures that what the enemy wants to plant is not planted. But there's another partnership that reveals that why men slept. They have sneaked some things in. So these things will not survive. That partnership will release a dry wind. There is another partnership that ensures that it is blown away. So, God is seeking for midwives. Because on the spiritual side of context, of conquest, there is a sustained servicing of altars. And I can boldly announce to you that the altars that have been used to keep our nation this way are blood altars. I know people are dying, you know, by strange means. But I believe that people are not dying anyhow. There is a pattern of death that is being carried out. So when we are praying, we will mark that kind of operation. If the altars no longer receive blood, then some people will lose potency. Now take me off the mic. Just take me off the mic. Sacrifice is one of the strongest tokens of priesthood. If the person you are fighting against knows how to run sacrifices to sustain the life on their altars, and we come in convenience, it means that we'll not win, because the shape of the spiritual realm favors a sacrificial man more than a man who operates by convenience. So there is the servicing of altars attached to priesthood. If those in darkness constantly service their altars and those in light are periodic comers, then it means we'll not win. So we must find the way of consistent labor. That's why I said after the 200 hours, if it's just 30 minutes, honestly, if it's 10 minutes, 6 o'clock a.m. or 6:30 a.m. to 6:40 a.m., we will still win. Any time consistency of sacrifice is applied, it puts weight on your labors in the spirit. The same thing I wrote under that, I said the wisdom of timelines of engagement or timeliness. You know when to strike. You know when to strike. The average believer has not been taught about timings. When God was creating a dichotomy between, was trying to cut, yes, into two, that's what a dichotomy means. These are our prayers. I was bothered. Actually, I was thinking that, okay, maybe school have resumed so that people come in the morning, they go to classes, they come back. Until I found out that he was trying to put my feet in Luke chapter 18. That the shape is a judge and not a friend. And the promise is that if his people come crying in the morning and in the night, he will hear them. So he programmed us for morning, night, so that we can fit into that shape to relate with him who is a judge. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. We have to be timely. Our labors need to be sacrificial. There are days that you may need to fast to join this thing without being told. Because if you are told, it loses the essence. When you pick out a fast in a congregational prayer like this, it's a burden-driven fast. That little sacrifice will tilt a lot. Let me show you something in scriptures. I'll do quite some reading, and then I'll pick up my verse. I read about 12 verses. Okay, just give me 2 Kings 3:27 so that we can run. I want to show you something. The Bible says, then, we'll read the full story now. Then he took his eldest son. Somebody say eldest son. That should have reigned in his stead. So it was the prince. In Yoruba, what do they call him? Aremo. So people have been calling him in secret, Kabiesi, because he's the next in command. And offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall, and there was a great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their land. Let me show you the story. Verse 15. We'll just run back here. 15 to 27. Let's run quick. The story was that certain alien kings attacked Israel. It was a confederacy. And these kings went to meet the prophet Elisha. Their animals were starving of water. The men were starving of water. And it looked as though everybody was going to die of thirst. If you die of thirst, then your enemies will not need to fight. They just meet weak men, slaughter them or convert them into slaves and go away. So they decided to go in search of a prophet. But the prophet found out that there was a strange king among them. There was Ahaz. There was also the king of Edom, because Israel networked with a strange king because of the strength of the king of Moab. Actually, Israel was not supposed to fight with Moab because it was a decree that God had given them. The Moabites are like their brothers. They are Esau's sons. Are you with me? But now there was a war situation, and the king of Israel had networked with an alien king, with the king of Judah, and they were going to battle. On this certain day, when Elisha spotted the wrong kings, his spirit could not prophesy. When you are offended, ascending into God is difficult. So the one who wants to receive the counsel of God must know how to make their hearts void of offense. Are you getting my point? So, to help himself, I know that there's a battle around this office, but I read the Bible. What did he say? Now, the assignment of the minister was not to sing, "Oh, Shehu Jesu, Aumaiyo." That's not what the, did you like the song he sang there? The assignment of the minister was to traffic the prophet beyond his offense into a place where he could hear. So a minister is a trafficker. You are a transporter. Accessing the sounds of God is stronger when a minstrel is around. And that office still exists in the body of Christ, because we are in a season of gross deafness. So the attempt to crash that office is to keep us deaf. May God give you understanding. It came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him, the prophet. Let's go on. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. But this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord." So he says the water situation is not the big thing that God is going to do. What will God do? "He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." Now this is a national prophet giving them a feedback that he did not hear in the news. He moved into God and brought a feedback. "He will deliver the Moabites into your hand." Next verse. "And ye shall smite every fenced city." It means you will take the battle from outside Moab into Moab. "You will smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." It was a total waste. "And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered," you see what brought the water, "that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water, offerings and provisions. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor, and upward, and stood in the border." Let's go on. "And they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood." This is nature becoming complicit with the battle on Israel's side. Are you with me? "The sun hit the water at a particular angle, that when the Moabites saw it, what they saw was red blood." "And they said, 'This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab to the spoil.'" That is not necessary for us to fight. They are not good friends before. They've killed themselves. "They must have dropped their arms and ran in." That's how lands and nature also complies to carry out assignments. Let's continue the story. "And when they came to the camp of Israel," "the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward," that's the Israelites now, "smiting the Moabites even in their country." That's a fulfillment of prophecy. So what did the king do? "And they beat down the cities on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kir Hareseth left there the stones thereof. How but the slingers went about and smote it. Every part of that prophetic word found expression. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. So it means that that day, remember, it was not only Sujas that fought. It was every boy that could wear armor. So there will be no fighting man left in the nation of Moab. The king tried to fight with 700, right? Men. At least let's kill the king of Edom. Let's gain ground on that side. He could not. So what did he do? Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon a wall. It means he just told them, light stick and light fire. Took the son, dropped him in fire. It was an offering to his God. And there was a great indignation. That thing stimulated heartbreak in Israel. Ah, how can a man do this kind of thing? What did they do? They departed and returned to their land. End of battle. One sacrifice, it all ended. He gave what was precious to him to silence an invasion, and the invasion responded. While I was sharing with my big uncles in Lagos this morning, I was explaining in one of the meetings this morning that this event has happened in Ogbomoso before. Listen. That's what you have there as Ogbomojalu. It's not a house of charms. It's a house of sacrifices. That when an invasion came, a king saw that there was nothing that he could do. And took a male, a twin, a male and a female, sank them into the ground alive. I first entered that room in the spirit. And then I asked for the story. And I found out that it was true. About 300 years ago. As the children began to cry, because they dug vertically, sank them, covered them. As they began to cry, the battle outcome changed. It was a Fulani war. Turned back and went. The army drove them as far as Eyekoni. And then, that's how Eyekoni got a name. He started his journey of names as Eyensukun. The story was that the men were smitten to a point that even birds gathered to sing, to cry for them. But you know, birds don't cry. They sing. So they turned the name to Eyekoni. The birds witnessed the massacre and wept along because a man gave a sacrifice. So when we were praying during the COVID was not enter our town. One pastor saw me at a supermarket and said, "And these boys, you just like troubling yourself." He said in Yoruba, he said, what a bebo, Ogbomojalu, that they have gone to appease the spirits of those children. And that so we as Christians don't need to pray. The spirits of the children will secure the time. He is a pastor. He believes more in that sacrifice than in the sacrifice of prayer. Maybe because he knows that many praying men are not sacrificial men. Unfortunately, only the king on the throne can stay going down. And we don't have a king now. So in the occultic circuitry, there's a gap. And because on the other side, they observe, they have seen the gap. That there are things in Oyo that only the Alaafin can control. And there's no Alaafin. There are things in Ikoyi that only the Onikoyi can control, but there is no Onikoyi. There are things in Igbeti, that's another border town, that only the Onigbeti can control, but there's no Onigbeti. All the kings died around the same time. So we have like 5 major border towns, even around the Resa there. There's one of the Resas that has lost their king. And so there are things that after the priest have labored, the king must put the final touch. There is no king. The lands become porous. That's why the church must rise. Our large city has been helped by the operations of the occultic dimension. Now the occultic dimension cannot complete their circuits. They need a king. Maybe you should also ask why our own kingship was scuffled. Diwala, we nearly had a king. Abi, we nearly had a king. They chose, but they could not agree because the circuitry must not be completed. Who knows if it was sorcery? To make sure that people lose understanding and that the king can no longer be planted. That's why kings must rise. To do what only a king can do. And these kings must rise with sacrifices on their shoulders. They must not live casually. They must live for a cause that is greater than themselves. Knowing that we cannot claim to be reigning when our city is going down. That Jesus reigns over our city by proxy. We are the ones on the ground. And until we rise as kings, you will not be king of kings in Ogbomosho. That's why we must rise. The wickedness that has been earmarked for our city will only be sustained if men of sacrifice don't rise. This king understood the laws of the spirit, that the realm will always embrace a sacrificial man. So in the day we want to stop the movements of wickedness and uncover the things that have given them perpetuity of expression, sacrificial men must rise. We will abandon convenience at our peril. We will labor that the realm may also adjudge us to be sacrificial men. That's how to live. You are not a savior if you cannot sacrifice. You are not. That's how saviors are decorated. The multiplicity of sacrifices. Unfortunately, across the landscape of Nigeria, young ministers have been introduced too early to comfort. I was invited to a meeting in Ibadan, and they are worried. I said, I have another meeting. They say, okay, just come one evening. They sent me this afternoon. What kind of food would you want to eat? What kind of place? Should we get a kind of car? I said, me? I'm a servant. I eat only what I'm given. And I can use public transport. I don't really like driving anybody. It's those rat-like vehicles are a plague. They don't care if their car is scratched. And if they scratch you, they will still cost you on top that they scratched you. So there's no hope for repainting your car. They don't have a mechanic. They can't afford a panel beater, but they will still cost you. So save myself. Sit on a bike. The other time, I took a bike from Leeds City to Ojo. The guy said 1,000. I said, can you go? Good to go now. And we're gisting. Till we got there. I don't have what I'm talking about is last month. It's not 10 years ago. I'm a servant. So I went to Uber and I will hang inside hold on. After a while, the guy will off his ACI. I told them it's anything. They say, ah. I said, yes, that's how I am. I actually added to them. And if you are listening to me, I'm a low budget guest. I tell my host, anything you can afford, give me. If there's anything I want to eat over what you can afford, I'll buy it myself. If I feel like taking a drink, I'll buy my drink. Now I even carry some things alone. I buy the fruit I want to eat. I can even carry water. Because I've gone to places, they gave me food, no spoon. Maybe now start, she's my wife hearing, let's be carrying cutlery. So that, yes, sometimes they put the food in a plastic plate and I like eating flat. So I may need to be taking a flat plate along with. I carry everything that I want to need, including transport fare back. In case I preach and they don't like my face, I will be able to come home. Apostle Gideon told me that thing many years ago. When you are invited, have money at least for one extra meal. Have money at least for a place to lay your head. Because if you preach in the evening and they don't like your face, they can drive you out. And if you hang outside, so there's no need to be bitter. Say, so you want me to be going home? I have a place to stay. I have money to transport yourself back home. Glory to God. Tonight, because of time, in 10 minutes, we want to enter into that plane where God can implicate our heart with sacrifice. Many wicked men in this nation have found the way of sacrifices. They know what appeases the realm of the spirit. Every wicked act that they commit is sealed by a sacrifice. The nation can shout, but they will not come to judgment. I can announce to you that what happened in Lekki 2 years ago was massive. I felt that men will go down. But people are walking around. Including the person who instructed that the lights be switched off. So that people could be wasted in darkness. Including the one who gave the word that people should leave, that number of people should be in their homes in a few hours. Knowing that was impossible. Including the, what's this detective thing that they used to do? What's the name? I've forgotten the name of that detective program. Including the Sherlock Holmes that walked with hands behind his back, trying to, who was able to see a camera in the midst of that jungle? No, everybody's walking free. Because the way of appeasement is known in this nation. It's only the church that doesn't understand it. If you call people to pray for themselves so that they will make money and make names, they will shout. When we ask people to pray for the nation, people act as if it doesn't concern them. Because as long as they are fine, it's not priestly to say, well, no matter how bad the nation is, I'm comfortable. It is not priestly. A priest is raised for the people. Are you getting my point? If you have been saying bad as a bad, may I still get food to eat? You are not, you betray your identity. The church in every land is there as security. The church in every land is there to pay a price in the spirit so that the people can be free. You heard what Apostle said many years ago when the tent rose. A time came when they went for an outreach. It was in the village they did outreach of. But it was in the town that the church was born. It was the people in the area that came to put out the light or the fire in the church. Equipment's gone, but the thing did get burnt in total. When they came back, they were wondering because these people who put out the fire never came for one tent meeting. But the people said, our church was burning. Our church. Are you members? Until the people told them that since you came here and started praying, that this zone was a witchcraft zone. Because of your prayers, now we sleep well. So they knew that if the church left, oppression will return. They are not members, so, but they enjoy the benefits of a praying church. That's what it should be. That's what a territorial church is. It's not a church that hosts everybody in the territory, but a church whose administrations impacts the territory. It may not even be a church of great numbers. But they are people of responsibility. They know that they are secured in the structures that God has provided, but they are willing to enlarge by sacrifice the canopies that cover them as a territorial church. We want to pray tonight. And ask that amidst us in this season, men who know the way of cost will rise. men that God can entrust with the salvation of territories. We want to be able to outdo darkness in sacrificing. Am I saying that we will take our children and sacrifice them? No. But God will begin to name prizes. We will choose inconvenience just so that a nation can be saved. For some, they will be assigned fasts. Some will be given particular timings to stand in intercession. Some will be told to forgo some conveniences, all just so that Jesus can win. Anaki kakabahato, kuraku takakato, sekago bikata barako katahayata. How can a man give a son and turn the tide of a prophetic movement? One sacrifice and prophetic essence died. Could it be that every time we lift up prophecies against the princes in darkness, they sacrifice something that changes the tide? This journey of convenience will lose consciously. Will lose consciously. Lord, let us understand. Help us understand. Help us understand that redemption was possible only by a sacrifice, and that redemptive essence can only be administered by sacrifice.
Are there ladies here who, because of the cause of the young, we say, no, we will labor, no, we will fast, no, we will stretch, that the women fall, that the children, not one woman extra, will fall to the ground. Ladies with burdens, young men with burdens, seeking to go to any length in God to see the ordination of our nation recovered. Ayananana kakada, sete kamite, baikombala kwatazu, azako rekonete menate. In Jesus' name we are prayed. I'm saying that narrative reveals that everything responds to a sacrifice. So is there a student here who is saying, because last night ASU lent in their strike by another 4 weeks, is there a student here who is saying to God, name a price for resumption? Just name a price. I know that whatever you have called me to do, there will be sufficient grace to do it. Name a price. How many hours of prayer will unlock the schools? Somebody is asking. How many hours of prayer we take the bandits away from our borders? How many hours? Just name your price, oh God. Amen. Amen. The 200 hours is not a soulish number. It was a price from God. The first 200 hours we had, I sat on the tip of my bed. I was in Shalom Medical Center. And the Lord said, I want a city. I have learned long ago that when God tells you that he wants something, it's something he wants you to pay for. I said, what will it cost? He said, 200 hours unbroken. I said, behold the men that you have given to me. If I mention 200 hours, they will not come. He said, how do you want it? 30 minutes for 400 days? 1 hour for 200 days or less? He said, I will go at your pace, but it must be unbroken. I said, sir, can you give grace for 5 hours for 40 days? He said, we can begin. When should we begin? And then we began. These 200 hours for the nation, the Lord reminded me that it's 5 years you need to sustain what you began in Ogbomoso. And then I started praying, because in leadership, you don't call people to pray for 200 hours when you have not started. I sat on my seat in the front seat in Uyo, and the Lord said, son, now I offer you a nation. I sent you, I was in church when I sent you that message. I said, Nigeria prays. Nigeria prays, 200 hours. We're going to pray that prayer again. Now, one of you may not be praying, some of you may not be praying about Nigeria now. Some of you may be asking for a particular sector. What is the cost to turn around our economy? What is the cost to open campuses? You think that there's immorality in Nandaji? No, listen. About turn it down a little. Thank you, sir. You think that there's immorality in Nandaji? Nobody wants to pay the price. A sacrifice kills everything. Do you know how strong the hold of sin was in the world? By the death of one man. Somebody say one man. That's the strength of sacrifice. If a lady rises up here tonight and says, Lord, give me all the ladies in Lauteng. How much? How much? What is the dynamics of the sacrifice? How am I supposed to live? How many hours of prayer? How many days of fasting? What kind of associations am I supposed to enter into or come out of to make sure that every lady that steps on the ground in Lautek is implicated for righteousness? If you pay the price, the reality will come. Spirits don't assess territories outside altars. What a sacrifice does is to force the appearance of an altar. How many people were at Elijah's sacrifice on Mount Carmel? One man's sacrifice, a whole nation. They have raised us to be selfish. That's why our nation is dying. John Knox was, give me Scotland or I die. He delivered a nation on a platter of gold. We have many praying men in Nigeria. What we lack is sacrificial men who are willing to say, give me this city or take me out. I will not breathe, be alive here to see the enemy run this town. Oh God. Help me live for a cause that is greater than me. Can you plead with the Lord and ask him for a cost? Whatever you perceive is sending you to Mark. We can cure this city of the Yahoo Boy syndrome. Somebody will pay a price in the spirit. Campus fellowships can live again. Somebody will pay the price in the spirit. Talk is cheap. Sacrifices are weighty. Lord, we ask that tonight you will visit us with a cost and you will supply us with might. Agakata. Relekaneki kananata. Sate kambayami akoma. Maila kuliase. Evelikon breko saila. Akandilikiate. Eskande barakosa. Shakaba kamibate. Oh, show me the way of sacrificing. Show me the way of sacrificing. Show me the way of sacrificing. Ibrahita Satamanate Baranta Suzaha Abrakanu Shantekate Ezuake 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 Kinima Kataya. Lord, show me. Apapa Mata. Apapata Simata Nabarahate. Fitaba mi feloni atanasto. Suate tata. El kalile kato mo kabi tukurale akanos. Sondo kande notekika barabe sefe kani fiata bakomia paravotale. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Now this is not for everybody, and this is where I close. We'll come back tomorrow morning, 6:30. I feel that the Lord is showing us an easy way out to undo wickedness. It is that men will want something more than the normal, and that with desire you will embrace a price. Wickedness and the wicked are found perpetuating because they have found the way of cost. In my time, you will not lack a sacrificial man. No. In my time, oh God, you will not lack a sacrificial man. I will stand, oh God, in the land. Fight the war on fierce battleground. Lift the banner of Christ high, bring it to my King. I will stand, oh God, in the land. I will stand, stand for God in my land. Fight the war, on face, lift the banner, lift the banner of Christ. Hey, and our sacrifice, and in all chaos, I will stand. How to close the meeting, but I want you to go home desperate tonight. For some of you, it's a family. You have been praying for that family every time you remember the affliction. You must gain consistency in this season, that you will approach unto the Lord and say, Lord, what will it take to finish this affliction? I know you pray for Lautech, or you pray concerning the strike. Every time you feel you are tired, somebody must perpetuate tiredness. And you will go to God and say, what will it take to make ASU and federal government get an agreement? Not periodic prayers. Not once in a week. Not once in 3 days. Those in the dark dimension, they sustain consistent all-time engagements. If you didn't hear anything tonight, can we have it quiet? If you didn't hear anything tonight, hear this. Sacrifices change the outcome of battles. All the time. All the time. Sacrifices change the outcome of battles all the time. And in this season, one of the things that God wants to take away the covering of the wicked is the rise of a sacrificial church. May you heed this summons. The praying church
must become the sacrificial church. The believing church must become the sacrificial church. The hoping church must become the sacrificial church. That all of those activities are carried out within the context of a sacrifice. The praising church must become a sacrificial church. That our praise becomes sacrificial. The fasting church must become a sacrificial church. That our fastings become sacrificial. Not in convenience, but in pain. Knowing that God will answer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord bless you. Okay, so who is to close this service?
I'm sure you've been blessed by this message. Fellowship with us at His Worship Christian Network, HWCN, located at 4D on the Jew, Ogbomoso, Oyo State, Nigeria. You can also join us to worship on our e-platforms, MixLR, HWCC, Facebook, HWCNNG, Telegram, HWCN Global Group. God bless you.